This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Ma'abayim. We have an amazing topic tonight. We're continuing in the Shirma on Sefer Bamidbar. We thank everybody for making the campaign very successful. Baruch Hashem, we hit our goal. If anybody still wants to be Meshtatef, we're in the bonus round. charity.com/MMH, charidy.com/MMH. We're continuing the Shirim on Sefer Bamidbar, which are generously sponsored by Dr. Zakim Umishpach, Lili Nishmas Rav Shoma Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakim, Lili Nishmas Rivka Bas Tovi Halevi, and Rav David ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyen, Began Eden Tehim Nuchasim, they should be Melitza Yisharim for the whole family, Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. The Shirim on Sefer Bamidbar are also generously sponsored by Rabbi Isaac Yosolovsky, Lili Nishmas, Rabbi Isaac's father, Shapsi ben Yitzchak Isaac, Began Eden Tehim Nuchasim, Ziyartzei was Tesvav Sivan. Tonight's shir is sponsored by my dear friends Aryeh and Michelle Jacob. Aryeh and Michelle Jacobson. Le'ilay Nishmas, Sarah Malka Bas, Rab Aaron, Olav HaShalem, Rab Aryeh's mother, Ziyartzeit, which will be this Friday, Yud Gimel Tammuz. She should be Melitza Yishar for her whole family. For Simchas and Nachas, Nachas the Kedusha, Abiyas Goel Tzedek. Tonight's shir is also dedicated by my friend Reb Joey Baghdadi, Lili Nishmas, a young boy who Lailenu drowned in Deal, New Jersey, Yosef Ben Olga. Tonight's shir is also sponsored anonymously. We have a very riveting topic tonight. The riveting messianic saga of Rav Shlomo Molcho. You may have heard of him, you may not have heard of him. After tonight, you will have heard of him. There's a very interesting halacha in Hilchos Tzitzis. When we wrap our tzitzis, we stick the four strings in, we make eight strings. So you have four strings, you stick them through the hole, it becomes eight strings. Then you make a double knot. Kesher al yoino d'araisa. That first double knot is biblical. It's mid'araisa. But then we have chulyos. In between the knots, we have windings. How many windings? There are different opinions. Some say that 7, 9, 11, 13, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, for a total of 40. But we don't quite do that. We do 7, 8, 11, 13. Actually, when I was in day camp, many years ago, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and we had a Rebbe, Rabbi Sherman, Rabbi Nelson Sherman's son, and he taught us how to make tzitzis. And he taught us a niggun. The niggun goes, 7, 8, 11, 13, 7, 8, 11, 13. So I remember in my head, 7, 8, 11, 13. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Shulchan Aruch says 7, 9, 11, 13. What's 7 and 9? 16. 11, 27, 13, 40. A gematria of 40. What's the significance of 40? 40 is the gematria of Hashem, which is Shem Havaya, Echad, which is 13, plus Hashem himself is 40. That's the inyan of 7, 9, 11, 13. By the way, now you understand, Rashi at the end of Shlach says that we have the mitzvah of tzitzis after the Chet HaMeraglim, so you say maybe there's a connection between the 40 windings and the 40 days the Meraglim spied out the land. Okay, we once spoke about that. In any event, we don't do what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says 7, 9, 11, 13. So the Magen Avram brings from the Shla, and the Mishnah Berurah paskens this way, with a Shla Kasav, Lasois, B'Sheni, Ches, not 7, 9, 11, 13, 7, 8, 11, 13. Then you get a total of not 40, but 39. And that's what the Levush writes, and that's what it says in the Kavanos, so that Rizal. Okay. And by the way, the Mishnah Berurah paskens that way. I was at a wedding recently, and I saw Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, and I told him about a story. I actually bought a talis not so long ago, and I check it every time I put it on. And after wearing it for, I'm embarrassed to say, sometime, I checked it. And when I check, I don't check the 7, 8, 11, 13. I check two things. I check the hole. I check the strings right by the hole, and I check the strings below. I don't count the chuliyos. As long as it looks, you know, one of my chuliyos was not 7, 8, 11, 13. It was 8, 11, 13. Whoever, and it had every hechsher, I got the best halas. Whatever, it was a... Anyway, so I went back to the store, and I wanted a refund. They said, you know, you can't get too... No, too much time passed. I said, fine. So the guy said, you know, you don't have to buy a new talis. I'll make the strings. I'll wrap it. So I said, fine. I come back. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I come back. I said, by the way, did you tie it l'shma? He's looking at me like, what planet are you on, huh? Tie it l'shma? Like, huh? What does that mean? I said, did you tie it l'shma? He said, yeah, of course. So yeah, right. Now what? Anyway, Rabbi Reisen told me when he was a bacher, the chulyos were not you know, were not correct. He went to Rav Pam, and Rav Pam said, no, don't waste your time. You should learn instead. In other words, it's not such a... It's not legislated from the Gemara how many times you wrap it. So you try to do it right, but it's... Okay. Anyway, that's just the Maisa Shahaya. Comes the Magen Avram, and the Magen Avram says, by the way, if you look in the Lechem Chamudos, Simen Mem Ches, he writes that in the tzitzis of Rash Molchai, he didn't have 7, 8, 11, 13. He had 10 and 5 and 6 and 5. What's 10 and 5 and 6 and 5? Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Who's Rash Molchai? Why is the Magen Avraham quoting him? Never heard of him. You're not going to see, you didn't see this before, and you won't see it after. Who's Rash Molchai? Rash Molchai is Rav Shloima Molchai. Who was he? When did he live? What's his story? And this will change your life forever. Okay? Nothing will ever be the same after you hear the story of Rav Shloima Molchai. Rav Shloima Molchai was born Diego Perez. He was born a Christian. He was born to Murano parents, so he's already second generation. Okay? He didn't grow up knowing the Aleph Beis. He didn't grow up knowing Shema Yisrael. He didn't even have a Bris Milah. Second generation Mariah. First, he's not an Anus. He's not one of the Anusim. He's the next generation. But he's a child prodigy. He knows many languages. He knows many disciplines. And something is stirring inside him. He knows the secret that he's a Jew. Okay? And he was, as we mentioned, a brilliant child. At 22 years old, he is working in the palace of the King of Portugal. And all of a sudden, one of the most colorful, dramatic, interesting characters in the history of the Jewish people makes his way to Portugal. His name is David HaRuveni. Who's David HaRuveni? According to Shalshel's HaKabbalah, he was a short man of black complexion and riding a white horse, and he claims to be from Shevet Ruvain. He says his brother back, you know, on the other side of the river in Asia is the king of 300,000 Israelites from the Aseret HaShvatim. He is going to lead the Jewish people back to the Holy Land. This guy, David HaRuveni, requested audience with the Pope. He told the Pope, I have 300,000 Israelite soldiers. If you give permission, we will join forces and we will liberate the Holy Land from the hands of the Muslim infidels. And that we Jews and you Christians, we will work together. But one thing we need to do is you need to give me a haskama, a letter. I'm now going to go to the King of Portugal, and we're going to get him on our side also. So can you imagine this short black Jew who claimed to be the leader of the Aseret HaShvatim convinced the Pope to give him a letter of approbation to go to the King of Portugal, and the King of Portugal went for it. And all of a sudden, this is the... This is the environment in which Shlomo Molcho is being groomed in, because he's standing in the court of the King of Portugal, and all of a sudden, David HaRuveni comes riding on a white horse, saying he's here to liberate the Jewish people, to go back to the Holy Land. And, you know, there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of secret Jews in Portugal, but nobody would ever breathe a word that the presence of David HaRuveni is stirring some kind of hope within them. But David HaRuveni cannot contain himself. This is what he's been waiting for. He knew his whole life he was a Jew, and he only wanted to scream out to David HaRuveni, "I'm a Jew, I want to join forces with you, I want to bring the Mashiach closer," but he knows he can't give up his cover. So he speaks to David HaRuveni secretly, and he says, "You know, what should I do? I know I'm a Jew, but I grew up as a Christian. I don't know enough Torah." And David HaRuveni says, "Get lost. Why? Don't even talk to me. If the king of Portugal gets wind that I'm speaking to you and I'm encouraging you, then he's going to think I'm trying to stir the Jews out of their Christian cover. And it's going to be, I'm jeopardizing my life." And David HaRuveni does not want to talk to him. David HaRuveni doesn't want to say anything to Shlomo Malcha, and this is just stirring him further. He was so inspired, and he was such a wise person, and at this point he had taught himself so much that he already began to receive divine revelations. Nothing short of that. He was receiving divine communication. We'll see. This is not what I'm telling you. Ad kidei kach, there are those who say he had a magid like the Beis Yosef. At this point, he didn't even have a bris milah, but he already began receiving, according to some, divine revelation. And he says to himself, "Why doesn't David HaRuveni want to talk to me? Why doesn't he want me to join forces with him? Doesn't he want to bring another Jew closer to Hashem?" And he says to himself, "It must be because I'm an Aral." One of the things that a lot of the Anusim believed, and those who had this hope for the coming of Mashiach, is that they would only be able to greet the Mashiach if they had a bris milah. Now let's think about this. This is an amazing question. Let's say for a moment you're a Gentile living on a desert island and you want to convert to Judaism. So the Tvila, let's say you find the lake. How do you do milah? 1-800, call Rabbi Krohn. He can't get there. You know, who's going to be your mail? Could you mal yourself? Could a Jew mal themselves? A Jew could mal themselves. Because if you're, I have a question. Could a Gentile, could a Goy give a milah? Of course not. He's not chayiv in the milah. He's not capable of making somebody circumcised. Could a Jew circumcise himself? Yeah. But what about someone who's not Jewish? How could someone who's not Jewish circumcise him? In other words, who's going to give David Malchai a milah? By the way, where in history do we find that someone who is not Jewish circumcised himself? Avraham Avinu.
He was Jewish.
Was he Jewish?
No.
Yeah, he was Jewish. When he got the milah, he was Jewish. So how did he circumcise himself? So this is a question Chassam Sofer deals with in Yoredei Siman Shin. And that's the way you can remember this Chassam Sofer is because David Shlomo Malcha predicted Mashiach will come in the year Shin. Shin is 1540. You know, it says by Avraham Avinu, question, who circumcised himself first? Avraham or the people of his household?
People
of his household. It says first Avraham circumcised the people of his house. And then it says Avraham Avinu had a bris milah. But when it says Avraham had a bris milah, it repeats Nimoilu v'chal avdei Avraham, Nimoilu itai, had a milah with him. What do you mean had a milah with him? They didn't have a milah with him. They were first. And then he had the milah. Why after? Avraham Avinu first circumcised all the people of his house. Then he did a milah on himself. And then it says all the people in the house of Avram were circumcised with him. They weren't circumcised with him. They were circumcised first. Listen to this. Says Chassam Sofer, Chiddush Nifla. How did Avraham Avinu circumcise himself? He wasn't Jewish. Maybe there is a Machlokes Rishonim. Who is the first Yid? Klal Yisrael Matan Torah or Avraham? But even Avraham, only after the Mila. Must be, says Chassam Sofer, in order to do a bris, you have to be a member of the covenant. You can only be a member of the covenant if you accept upon yourself the mitzvah of milah. As soon as Avraham accepted upon himself the mitzvah of milah, he was already a member of the covenant, so that he was able to circumcise himself. But what if Avraham Avinu would have changed his mind after he circumcised the people and said, you know what? You know, I don't think I want to do this. Then he would not be a member of the covenant, and he would not have been able to circumcise them retroactively. So first Avraham Avinu circumcised them, and it was a good circumcision because Avraham Avinu accepted upon himself the mitzvah of milah. But once he had the milah, that authenticated and verified that the milah he did on the people was taka good. So therefore it says when Avraham Avinu did the milah, they were circumcised with him, because their circumcision was only effective once he circumcised himself. So did Shlomo Mocha need to come on to the tshuva, the Chassam Sofer, to circumcise himself? No. Because he's Jewish. Right? I tricked you. He's Jewish. So of course he could circumcise himself. The problem is, when do you think he did it? You think he did it in the middle of the day? He probably did it at night. He did do it at night. If you do a milah at night, is it a good milah? If you do a milah at night, is it a good milah? No. No. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Samach Beis, you can only do milah once a Netzach Chama, on the eighth day. Mishalom Rashachar Yatzah B'Di'eved. You could do milah the whole day. Zvi Zemakdim L'mitzvahis. Va'afilu milah shaloi bizmana eino ela b'yoyim. Even milah not at the right time can only be during the day. Says Rama, if you do milah at night, you got to do it again. You have to do a tafas dam bris during the day. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says we don't paskin that way. We paskin milah shaloi bizmana, if you do it belaila yatsa, not on the eighth day. Shaloi bizmana. Now, the irony here is that Shlomo Mocha had to be going according to the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And we'll see why that will end up being somewhat ironic.
Why can't we say in the mitzvah sasei, loich aloi sasei?
What's a loi sasei?
Not to do it at night.
It's not a loi sasei.
What?
It's not the zman to do.
Mila, he second that he didn't have it, it was an oral.
Yeah, but it's not a lav.
Second, he's being over at the rice place. He's Jewish.
Yeah, but it's not a lav to do it at night. It's night is not the time to do mila. It's
but,
not.
But the mitzvah of mila should be done. That's not whatever another time. Is.
When if you do it at night, you didn't do the mitzvah of mila. The mitzvah is to do it during the day. It's not a lav to do it at night. It's not that there's a mitzvah of mila and a lav to do it at night. The mitzvah is only, it's only considered a good deed if you do it during the day. It's not anything if you do it at night.
So it doesn't count.
It doesn't count, right. It doesn't count.
So you have to do a mila again?
Correct, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says.
How do you do a mila again if you did it?
It's not something anyone wants to find out, but you do hatafas da bris. They do, they prick, they draw blood.
Again?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, now, the Shlomo Mocha wrote a sefer. It's called Chayas Kana. It's about the divine revelations he received and the prophecy he received. So he tells us a story that one day he met David Haruveni in the courtyard of the King of Portugal. And that night I saw a wondrous dream. I was very shaken. And the upshot of the dream is that I was commanded by the heavens that I should make a bris milah. And every day I went to David Ruveni and I said, I saw in my dream I have to do milah, I have to do milah, I have to do milah. I think the reason I'm having this dream is because you came to Portugal. I wasn't having these dreams before you showed up. He said, get lost, kid. I don't know who you are. What are you? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have anything to do with your milah. So Shlomo Mocha said, maybe he doesn't want to reveal to me anything until I do a bris milah. And the night came, and I did a milah on myself back in the day. You know, I don't know what kind of knives they had or what kind of antiseptics they had. Or says Rav Shlomo Mocha, I bled and I fainted and the blood was flowing from me like a Mayan Hamizgaber. And I was almost, that was the end of me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaRachaman, HaRoyfei, HaNeman, was merapemi, lo yu'uman ki yisupar. So I went back to David Aravani and I said, "My master, don't hide from me. I did the milah. I'm a real Jew now." And he says, "Get out of here. I don't want to look at you. You're endangering my life. If the king knows that we're having a conversation, he's going to think I convinced you to do this." He wouldn't talk to him. Ultimately, David HaRaveni had Shlomo Melcho wrapped up in his arm. We're going to see to the point where David HaRaveni was being offered possibly as Mashiach, and Shlomo Melcho perhaps his prophet. Okay, but let's get there first. Shlomo Melcho then runs away to Salonika. Now you know why I'm talking about this topic. And as soon as he has his milah, the dreams and the revelations are non-stop. He was told in the dreams to escape from Portugal. David Aravani commanded him to leave Portugal. And he hits the road and he comes to Salonika. It's very interesting, from 1492 to 1590, the center of Torah in the world was in Greece. There was no Greece back then. It was all under the empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire. Not the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire. And the great Rosh Yeshiva then was Rav Yosef Taitichuk. Who's that? Rav Yosef Taitichuk? Rav Yosef Taitichuk was the leading Rosh Yeshiva of the time. And Shlomo Melcho comes to learn from Rav Yosef Taitichuk. Kemad all the Chachamim of the time received Torah from Rav Yosef Taitichuk. By the way, in that area at the time, you had great people like the Beis Yosef and Rav Shlomo Alkabetz and the Marashdam and the Lechem Mishnah and Rav Levi ben Chaviv, the Mahalbach. So who's this Rav Yosef Taitichuk? The Chidah quotes the Shari Kedusha, I'm sorry, the Reishis Chachma. Rav Yosef Taitichuk, for 40 years, did not sleep in a bed except for Leil Shabbos and Leil Yom Tov. He slept on a bench with his feet dangling in the air. Okay, so that's the caliber of personality we're speaking about. Rav Yosef Taitichuk, in a 24-hour period, he would learn with his Talmidim 18 hours, and he only devoted 6 hours for everything else he had to do. Eat, sleep, anything else in his life was reserved to a 6-hour window. He had more than 20 Talmidim who were Balei Hera, who could have been Rashi Yeshivas. Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk had a Magid, like the Beis Yosef. Now, the Beis Yosef's Magid was greater, because the Beis Yosef's Magid was the actual soul of the Mishnah. And the Beis Yosef's Magid spoke to him in Aramaic. That was the highest level. Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk's, it wasn't the soul of the Mishnah, it was only the Shekhinah itself. Whatever that means. Why is the Shekhinah lower than the soul of the Mishnah? And it was in Lashon HaKodesh, so it wasn't as high. Okay? So, now, I want to tell you, I don't care what tzaddik you know, none of them have a Magid, and nobody's speaking out of their mouth, and they sleep in a bed. So this is the caliber of the Rebbe of Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk, who's the Rebbe of Shlomo Melcho in Nigla, and then Shlomo Melcho became so great in Kabbalah, he becomes the Rebbe of Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk in Kabbalah. And Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk is the Rebbe of Rabbi Shlomo Alkabetz in Kabbalah. So if you want to know the greatness of Shlomo Melcho, he's the Talmud of Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk, who had a Magid on par with the Beis Yosef, but ultimately he becomes a Talmud of Shlomo Melcho. Ad kidei kach, says the Chidah, my great-great-grandfather, the Chesed Avram, writes Dvarim Noiraim that the Magid told Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk. Ad kidei kach, you know this, but you're not remembering right now. The Chidah writes in his entry on the Beis Yosef that in the generation of the Beis Yosef, there were 3 Gedolim, all equally capable of writing a Shulchan Aruch. In that generation, the Shamayim understood they needed one compendium to compile all the halachos. And there were 3 people who could have done it. The Beis Yosef Yosef Karoy, Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk, and Rabbi Levi Ibn Chabiv. And the reason why the Beis Yosef was Zoicha is because Mipnei An Vesanusai Ha'aser, because of his great humility. Meaning, not because he was greater in learning. So this Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk is, you know, is in the, we're saying him in the same breath as the Beis Yosef. He's a Rebbe of Shlomo Malchow, but in ultimately he learns from Shlomo Malchow Kabbalah. So Shlomo Malchow, he made it into the Magen Avram. He has a chiddush and tzitzus, yud kei vav kei. Shlomo Malchow learning by Rabbi Yosef Taitichuk is developing like in an unparalleled way. And he started writing his drashos, and he revealed that Mashiach is coming soon, and everybody needs to prepare. Do you remember when we spoke about Rabbi Yehuda Arya of Modena? Who remembers that share? Rabbi Yehuda Arya of Modena. Rabbi Yehuda Arya of Modena's son-in-law writes that Rav Shlomo Malchow suddenly gained Ruach Chachma Ubina Min HaShamayim, a Ruach HaKodesh. Others say that Rav Shlomo Malchow himself was Mekabel Torah from Malachi Asharis. He now comes to Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, he spreads the news, Mashiach is around the corner. And the fervor and the commotion that this caused, everybody got caught up. Everyone was preparing themselves. Everyone began to fast on Monday and Thursday because of Shlomo Malchow. Mashiach is around the corner. When? It's coming like in 11 years, the year Shin. 11 years. You know, somebody would say now, Mashiach is coming 11 years. It's a very long time, by the way, over here. You know? People are fasting Monday and Thursday. The Rav of the city of Yerushalayim at the time was Rav Levi Ibn Chabib. He lived from 1485 to 1545. He was born in Zamora, Spain. He was a Rav in Salonika, ultimately in Yerushalayim. He's the son of Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Chabib. You ever hear of Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Chabib? Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Chabib is the author of the Ein Yaakov. You know what the Ein Yaakov is? You know that is a collection of all the Agaditas on Shas. He's the father. His son is Rav Levi Ibn Chabib. He is furious about this messianic fervor. He calls it, he says like this. He said, "Thank the Ribbono Shelam that I was zoicha to come to Yerushalayim, where I've been for 14 years, and I made Aliyah, and Hashem gave me two great merits in my life." I'm going to tell you the second one first. The second one is another Rav from Salonika, Rabbi Yaakov Beirav. You know who Rabbi Yaakov Beirav is? The Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. He had an idea based on the Rambam. The Rambam says, maybe, if all the sages in our, you know, today, there's no such thing as smicha. There's no real smicha. You know that. People want to know, does the rabbi have smicha or not? It's irrelevant if the rabbi has smicha or not. It's not real smicha anyway. The only smicha is v'samach yaday al rosh hapar. Yeah? There's no smicha today. Okay, so maybe you want your rabbi to know a little yaradeya, a little isser v'heter, a little basar b'chalav, taruvais, but yes, it's not real smicha. Real smicha is a status that's bestowed upon a person that can be traced back to Moshe Rabbeinu. It ended in the times of the Amoraim. Okay, it ended. The real smicha allows a bezdin to give malchus and to give capital punishment to dan dinei knasos. It ended. So the question is, could it ever come back? Yeah, when Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi, who's a Talmud of Achi HaShiloini, is able to. He has original smicha. The Rambam writes a line that if all the sages in Eretz Yisrael agree, they could reinstate the smicha. Now, why do they want to reinstate the smicha? For a very interesting reason. You see, there's so many Maranos in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who converts to Christianity, it's a capital offense, according to Yiddishkeit, according to Judaism. It's Avodah Zarah. So, technically, one would be liable to Kares. Now, it's not a comfortable feeling for a Jew, even though they had no choice, thinking they have a looming punishment of kares on them. Is there any way to get off kares? If you get malchus, kol hanilkim niftar midei krisasan. If you get malchus, it could exempt you from kares. So they wanted to reinstate smicha, so that the Maranos could get malchus, so that they could fall asleep at night on their pillows. Rabbi Yaakov Beirav actually reinstated the smicha. He gave something like four people smicha, including the Beis Yosef, maybe Rabbi Moshe Galante, Rabbi Moshe Matrani. The Marbach fought against this tooth and nail. He said, all the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, you didn't ask me. You know, you didn't ask my opinion. All the rabbis. Actually, first they said if you get the majority of the rabbis. So the Chiddush Rabbi Yaakov Beirav is we only count the rabbis in the land of Israel. We don't count rabbis outside of Israel. Right? What are rabbis outside of Israel? What are they worth? You know? Anyway, the Malbach fought tooth and nail against the smicha, and thanks to him, it never caught on. Despite the fact the Beis Yosef endorsed it, and most of the great Gedolim of Tzfas endorsed it. Malbach fought against the tooth and nail. In Shal Sechus Malbach, in the back of the Sefer, there's something called Kuntras HaSmicha, where he says, I can't do it. The other great accomplishment he achieved is at the time of Besurais HaShoitim, Doivrei Shkarim, Tipach Rucham, he says when the report of the fools and who spoke falsehood of the impending coming of Mashiach, everyone was getting caught up, I told them they're out of their mind. If not for me, says Malbach, there wouldn't even be 10 religious Jews left in Yerushalayim. Because everybody got caught up in this messianic fervor. He said, I saved the Jewish people. Anyway, it's interesting to think about that. Let's continue on. So, in Eretz Yisrael, there's this great messianic fervor. And we have a tradition that Shlomo Molchel then, not only was just speaking about the impending coming of Mashiach, but it seems like he took actual steps to practically hasten the redemption. What did he do? It seems like he gathered 10 people and they went out into a field and they imposed an oath on the Samach Mem Aleph Lamed and they summoned him and all of a sudden a snake appeared. Rabbi Isaac, you know how big the snake was? 22 amos long. That's 44 feet. You know how fat the snake was? The snake was 5 amos wide. That's 10 feet wide. That's a big snake. And the snake said, and they chained it up, and the Vayiftach Hanochash Piv. Now you know why I'm thinking about it. This is connected to the parsha. Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'asayin. God opened up the mouth of the snake. I knew there was a reason I was giving this year. God opened up the mouth of the snake, and the snake said to Shlomo Molchel, what do you want? Why'd you bring me? And he said, Russia, why are you seducing us? We're going to destroy you. The Nachash deceitfully slithered out of the chains, and Shlomo Molchel cannot bring the Gula. Word got out that Shlomo Molchel used Kabbalah Masis. What's Kabbalah Masis? Not just theoretical Kabbalah, but Kabbalah to change nature. I couldn't believe this. Reb Chaim Vital in the Shari Kedusha writes, by the way, I thought Kabbalah Masis was called Kabbalah Masis because, like, you know, you do Kabbalah Masis, you turn the guy into a frog. You know? It's practical Kabbalah. It's not just philosophical Kabbalah. No, Kabbalah Maisis is called Kabbalah Maisis because this world is Olam Ha'asiya. So the Kabbalah that's effective in this world is Kabbalah. Fine. Says Reb Chaim Vital, watch out from Kabbalah Maisis. It's usher to use it. Because if you use it, even if it's good, bad will stick to you. You think you're purifying yourself, you're contaminating yourself. And even if you achieve, it will be mixed with falsehood. We don't have the Parah Aduma anymore. And without the Parah Aduma, we're Tamei Meis. The Klipos are going to stick to us. Stay away from Kabbalah Masses. You're going to contaminate yourself and you're going to go into Gehenim. And even in this world, our tradition is, if you use Kabbalah Masses, either you become poor, or you come poor, or your children, or you get sick, or your children, or you convert to another religion. So next time you go to a guy, you know, stay away. We don't do that stuff. Even if it's good, it's not good. Says Rav Shlomo, Rav Chaim Vital, case in point, Rav Yosef de la Reina. You ever hear of Rav Yosef de la Reina? Look him up. Okay, not now. Rav Shlomo Molchoi, they used Kabbalah Masses, v'nevdu min ha'olam. They were destroyed. Why? There's no good in it without bad. Rabbi Yaakov Emden also speaks very critically about Reish Shin Mem. Wasn't sure who that is. Reish Shin Mem. But that's, yeah? That is Rabbi Shlomo Molchoi. He says, he gives a few examples of personalities who use Kabbalah Masses. V'zulasam ha'mishtamshim v'hashbois v'kabbalah Masses pisoim avru v'nenashu. They're immediately punished. Anyway, so this is a pretty scathing accusation. You know, we know that Rabbi Yaakov Emden was very outspoken even against great people. That we know. But for Rabbi Chaim Vital to write this about Shlomo Molchoi, that was a little bit of a shocker to me. Because even though Rabbi Chaim Vital speaks so vehemently against Shlomo Molchoi, the Beis Yosef held Shlomo Molchoi in very high esteem. So it's somewhat of a mystery of this personality. Let's take the story a little bit further. All of a sudden, Shlomo Molchoi decides to leave Eretz Yisrael. You know, could it be that he wasn't getting good vibes from Reb Levi Ibn Chabib? Maybe. But something else happened historically. And that is, the German Caesar conquered Italy. And now Rome was overtaken. And one of the big theories of Shlomo Molchoi is that Mashiach will reveal itself in Rome. And actually, this is not a theory of Shlomo Molchoi, it's a Beferish Gemara. The Gemara says that Mashiach will reveal itself in the city of Rome. And we'll learn that soon. So, his friends back in Salonika are taken up with this messianic fervor. They ask him, please send us some of your drashos, some of your speeches. And he in fact pens a work, an amazing work called Sefer HaMafayar, which was published in Amsterdam. And it predicted Mashiach's coming in 11 years, in the year Shin, 1540. And he said, you know, just hold on just a little bit longer. Mashiach's on his way. I've got good news to tell you, you know, that Mashiach's on his way. It's only going to be 11 years. Now, to me, this is out of this world. Because it's hard to know, these Svarim, are they accepted? Are they not accepted? The Chida does not bring them in his list of Svarim, nor does the Chida bring Shlomo Molchoi in his list of Gedolim. But the Seder HaDoiros of Rabbi Chiel Halperin, who the Chida says was a great Talmud Chacham, does bring these Svarim in the list of Svarim. Shlomo Molchoi had an unbelievable understanding of what will unfold when Mashiach comes. And he disagreed with David HaRuveni about this, even though he writes that he is enslaved through his master, David HaRuveni. David HaRuveni felt Mashiach was going to come through military might. And Shlomo Molchoi says, nothing will bring about Mashiach through war, because Hashem will not bring about anything, Ella Bekelim Tahoyrim, only in pure vessels, only with Shemos of Hashem. He says, "V'hamulchama loytia b'klei zayin el b'shemesh hakadosh." In other words, he says there's going to be a milchemas goyg u'magoyg between goyg and magoyg, but we're out of it. The Jews are out of it, and then we come in, and Mashiach will be heralded without any war. That's the opinion of Rav Shlomo Malchai. He also believed that Mashiach will reveal itself in the streets of Rome. Take a look at number 20. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. V'heicha Yosef. Where does Mashiach sit? Apischa dekarta. By the entrance of the city. Which city? Says the Gra, you have to change the girsa. Take out the word karta. By the way, you see this Gra? I magnified it 400 times. Seriously. I put it on the copy machine 400 times. Nimchak tevas dekarta v'nechta b'tzidei deromi. Mashiach will come in Rome.
Why? Any reason or any...
You know, that's the seat of Esav. That's the seat of the church, the Vatican. So, to show them, you know, the truth. By the way, the Midrashim say, that Gemara, excuse me, says, Umay Simone, what's the Simone of Mashiach? Yosef Beinei Aniyei Soiv L'Chalam. He sits among the poor, the ill, the sick, the homeless. Maybe today it could come in Manhattan. You know, maybe it's a good thing, what's going on. But anyway, Shlomo Malcha now moves from Eretz Yisrael, he moves to Rome. He parks himself in the gates of Rome, and he sits among the ill and the poor for a long time. And he's, so to speak, grooming the Jewish people to anticipate the coming of Mashiach from this location. Now, is it him? Is he the one? Is he the one? Now, word spreads that this former Christian reverted back to Judaism. Now, that's a capital offense. Once you're baptized, you can never revert back to Judaism according to the religion. If they catch him, he's done. He's dead. And he's apprehended by one of the officers of the Pope. And he says, is it true that you denounce Christianity? And to the astonishment of the Jewish community, he says with pride, he now understands Judaism is a true religion and Christianity isn't true. And now his life is on the line. Bottom line is, he parks himself in the streets of Rome. He sits among the poor, the homeless, the ill, as if to show himself that he is the Redeemer of the Jewish people. Now, there is a lot of discussion. Did he really say he's the Mashiach? Could he have, if he's mentioned in the Magen Avraham? Is that an automatic, in other words, does that automatically disqualify somebody from being mentioned in a Magen Avraham if they said that he's Mashiach? Let's look at a few Mekoymais. Because it's printed in the Hakdama of the Sefer Chayas Kane, which are the divine revelations of Shlomo Malchai, 9 defenses for him. He was a Goy Natsam. He became the Rebbe of Rabbi Yosef Taitichek. He never said he was Mashiach. He never changed and deviated one iota of any mitzvah. There are many cases in history where false Mashiachs said you don't have to observe certain mitzvahs anymore. Shavas v'tamas, we know Shabtai Tzvi abolished Shavas v'tamas, abolished Tisha B'Av, abolished many mitzvahs, and so did many false Mashiachs. He only upheld the halacha. He united Klal Yisrael. He inspired Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, if you look in the Sefer Shalshelas HaKabbalah, do you know the Sefer Shalshelas HaKabbalah? Rav Gedalia ibn Yechia. Now, it's a traditional work of history that many Gedalim quote. The Chida writes many times it is an unreliable source. He's not happy the Seder HaDoyrois quotes it. Chida writes many times not reliable. But the Shalshelas HaKabbalah, he describes David HaRuveni very interestingly, like we mentioned. He's a short man. He was a black complexion. And when he appeared before the king of Portugal, he inspired Shlomo Malchai to reconnect with his Judaism. And even though Shlomo Melchel was born in Arel, he hadn't learned Torah, but he became a great darshan for the Jewish people. Tar shebichsav, tar shebal peh. Drashos that we've never heard this quality in our whole history. And he said he had a malach. Says Shalshel Zagabal, v'haya oimer hayoysei mishluchei Mashiach. What does that mean? He's one of the agents of Mashiach. That's interesting. That's a new one. Now, so according to Shalshel Zagabal, he was an official agent of Mashiach. You know, he said, can we see your card? He showed him the card. There's a little decal. They put on the scanner. He was an agent of Mashiach. By the way, if it would just be Shalshel's HaKabbalah, maybe you say it's not reliable. Seder HaDoyrois, or Rabbi Chil Halperin, quotes this word for word that he claimed he was from the agents of Mashiach. Now, is that alone problematic? I mean, you know, we're all working for Mashiach. We're all trying to bring him closer. Everybody's trying to bring the Gula closer. I mean, we all try to do that. No, I mean, we do mitzvahs, we do masim tovim, we're trying to bring Mashiach. But it's one thing to try to bring Mashiach, another thing if you have an official capacity as an agent of Mashiach. But in the Sefer Divrei Yosef, of Rabbi Yosef Sambari, he writes that Shlomo Melchel not only was an agent of Mashiach, but he said he is Mashiach. Which would be pretty amazing that despite that, he's brought in halacha of an approach to how to tie tzitzis. Rabbi Isai, this will conclude the first segment of the amazing, riveting account of Rav Shlomo Melchel. Next time, next week, Tuesday night, we're going to speak about the ultimate end of Shlomo Melchel and how the Gedolim viewed him upon his demise. He only lived 32 years. He passed away in 1532, 32 years. So here's an individual who is Moser Nefesh, to come back to his roots. He literally almost died doing a milah. We learned the Shita Lechsam Sofer, that if you're makabel upon yourself bris milah, that kashers you even to give yourself a bris milah. B'di'evet, if you do milah at night, shaloi bizmanoi, the Yavid says, not like the Rama, that it's your yoytze b'di'evet. Shlomo Melchel, learned by Rabbi Yosef Taitachuk, and when he came to Sholayim and he started the Messianic fervor, the Rav Levi Ibn Chabib, he cut it in its tracks. He then goes to Rome, and that's where the story will continue, Bezos Hashem, next week, in the gates of Rome. Hopefully, in the meantime, we will hear good news from those gates with the coming of Mashiach, and then, you know, you'll never hear the end of the story. Have a good night. Yeah, next week is Tuesday night, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, between Mincha Marav. It will be on Zoom as well. Okay, Hatzlach Rab, everyone.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.